I began to pray and ask God to prosper us, me and Teresa. And I owed a doctor bill, and I'd bought a Kirby. Teresa brought it up, bought a Kirby vacuum cleaner, and we had it about 2 months, and it tore up. I threw it on the back of a dump truck and sent her off to the scrapyard, and I called them 2 or 3 times, and they wouldn't send nobody out to do nothing about it. This was before I got saved, you know. Anyways, I bought that Kirby, and a couple of years went by, probably at the point when I got born again, and I've started asking the Lord, Lord, prosper us. You know, I'm believing for you to prosper. And every time it would, that Kirby would come up. You know, and I bind the devil. I thought, devil's trying to remind me of this crap, so I can't believe God, you know. And so I bind it. I would say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And God had already taught me, read it in my heart, scripture in 2 Corinthians, how to 10, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and I'd already met it. So I knew about casting down them things that's trying to argue with me. Bring them down, you know, and then come back with scripture, no weapons formed against. So I was doing that, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I didn't feel grieved on the inside. I would feel grieved when I would bind the devil, you know, because I was trying to bind God. It wasn't the devil. See, I was asking the Lord to prosper me, and I've got to go. I'm not even realizing, you know, that, and then all of a sudden I got quiet, you know, and I'm like, what was this, Lord? He said, pay for it. I thought, man, that junk, I wouldn't come fix it, you know, blah, 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 blah. But she stirred some things up. See, that was the beginning. My pastor told me one time, he said, be careful what people tell you about the Bible. He said, because they tell you about their experience and not all, and everything might not be up to par, you know. And so, I didn't just take people's word. They might experience something, but God's word says what it says, and that's what I'm going to experience. I don't want nothing but the word experience in my life. I don't care if half the church ain't experienced something, and God's word says it, and they say, well, you know, you never know about God. I ain't going to listen to that kind of garbage. No, I know about God. God is a faithful God. He cannot lie. He's not possible that God can lie. So what he's put in his Bible, in his book, when I engage and become a doer of it, then he begins to bring the fruit of that word, whatever it is, into manifestation in my life. And so anyways, God told me, he said, I want you to make payments. I made payments on that Kirby. I called them up and I set it up. I think we made $10 a month. I don't know. Man, I mean, we didn't have no money. I couldn't afford $10 a month. But see, what was happening is that God was taking my heart, which was a thief and all kind of stuff before I got born again, and not getting into all that. I would take your car. I mean, if I wanted your clone, you better not lock it. I would just pull over and bust the window out. If I wanted your Kenwood, it's mine. Just bust your windows out and take your stereos and stuff and all that. Now, see, God has took me and put me on like Teresa was talking about. When you get born again, there is a transition. Something happens in that person. If something ain't happened in that person, they're probably not born again. If you can still do people wrong and claim to be a Christian, if you can still not pay for the Kirby, and you know, there's something missing. And it's truth. It's Jesus said, I am the way. I am what? And he is the life. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And so I'm like, God, we can't afford this. That baggage of reasoning Teresa was talking about was there. All the things that were stopping me from prospering in life were inside of me. All the things that I thought, you know, I didn't know that God could bring me 20-something. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I mean, I told Teresa the other day, I said, I need to sell off all this stuff. And then I was like, well, I don't know what I'd do with that money. I mean, I got money, so there ain't no need in trying to get more money. Well, you could pay off my stuff. You'd be broke week after next. Because there is a path of building up of God that we are stewards over the things that He's going to bring into our life. Whether it's cars and houses. See, God can bless you with a big house, but have you got the faith to keep it? God can bless you with a Mercedes, but have you got the faith for the tag? God can bless you with motorcycles and stuff, but can you afford the insurance? Have you got the faith to do it? So God knows all that. We don't really know all that. So God takes us down a path through His Word of keeping our word, being a man or a woman of our word, you know, so that we're trustworthy. But then the Holy Spirit brings revelation then. And when once revelation comes, the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail. He said, upon this rock, he's talking about revelation, the revelation that Peter received that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was from God, that Jesus was that was prophesied in Isaiah, that Jesus. See, once revelation came, the gates of hell couldn't prevail against them people. I mean, you could boil them in oil and they wouldn't boil. I mean, you could stone them and you couldn't kill them. But God, you could put them in prison and they sang it at the midnight hour, bless God. And I mean, the angels come and, I mean, released them and opened the prison doors. But my point is, there was a conversion in them. That's why He told them, He said, go tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. They didn't have no power. They had, like they were going to have, Johnny, because Jesus hadn't sent the Holy Spirit. Now, Teresa had brought a very good lesson that stirred some things in me and reminded me that it was not God alone that brought me to a place of prosperity. It was God dealing with me about fixing somebody's hood. I ripped Richard Lloyd's bumper off here at this church one day. But this was years later. I'm done a veteran and doing good. I'm at the co-op Saturday, and I bought me some horsefly spray. And I cranked my truck up, put it in drive, and I'm just sitting there, and we'd done disloaded the loaded. And I thought, oh, I wonder how you mix that, because I'm fixing to head out, and I thought, well, I don't want to wait to get back. So, and while I'm looking at that, I rode forward just a little bit, and the guy goes, ho! Oh! And I went, bumped the little Chevy S10. And I backed up, you know, and got out. And I said, man, sorry about that, man. He said, oh, it ain't no big deal. He looked his truck, and I said, look, man, I said, I got some of the best insurance on the planet. Yeah, I ain't even going to turn it in. I'll paint the whole dude's truck. I'll have it painted, the whole thing. I won't even turn it in on my insurance. I fixed Teresa's. We fixed Teresa's. Didn't even turn it in on our insurance. Fixed the other guys, you know, let the insurance fix it. I just went and fixed hers. I ain't turning it in. Shoot, I got better insurance than that. I done found out that Jesus is my source. I done found out that He's better than Alpha. He's better than all of them that you can get insurance from. And that guy, he said, oh, man, it's just a stupid old truck. He said, my windows don't roll up and down. The tailgate don't let up and down, man. It didn't really do nothing to it. He said, oh, I don't want it fixed. I said, that's not happening. I jerked out all the money I had in my front pocket, and usually I'm loaded. And I thought, you know what? He's willing to forgive me. He's just willing to. So you know what? I'm going to bless his socks off. So put your hand out. Oh, no. I said, it's going to happen. I said, you're not leaving here without being blessed. I am one blessed dude. He just don't know it. I'm sitting here, all I want to do is find out how many gallons I put in there. Because I don't want to do it over here, it's hot. So I busted him with all the money. Oh, you can stop. And I said, no, man, hold your hand. I said, there you go. He said, good Lord, I didn't know I was going to make money coming down here. I said, it'll make you want to go to the co-op next Saturday too, won't it, baby? He said, boy, I could use that. I needed some feed. I said, I know it. Back on back in there and just load your wagon up. Load it up. Why? I bumped his car. I'm a man of righteousness. I didn't even tell him I'm a Christian. I don't have to. I am one. I run over your car, I'll buy it. I told Richard, he said, just forget it. I'm making a point to something here. This is not between me and that guy. This is not between me and Richard Lloyd. This is between me and my God, whom I know and whom I serve and whom has taught me overcome evil with good. When you know to do right, do it. Set out to do it. It's hard to do when you first start if you're used to not doing right. If you're used to not doing right, boy, you're in vice grips right now. I mean, you're like a worm squirming not to get on the hook. But once you get hooked into that, you know, he said, no, we're in here. I'm like, whoa, he gonna live here blessed, man. I mean, they might be a Rolls Royce in this little incident here. This could be a Bahama trip for me. This could be a vacation in there, in that little dent. It was already there. That dent was already there. But you know what? Richard, out of his love, he says, oh, man, don't worry about it. I said, no. I said, that's not going to happen. I said, you either let me take it and have it fixed, or I'm going to get a price on what it would cost to fix it. You're going to get paid. No, man. I said, that's the end of that. I said, this is not between me and you. So I found that he didn't want, then he come to me, he said, well, if you're going to do anything, I'll just take the money. I said, that's fine. I found out how much his bumper was, and I paid full price. If I'm feeling guilty, I said, shut up. I'm doing what's right. Well, what I'm telling you is linked to the rest of my future. That Kirby was linked to the rest. It was my house was in it. My money was in it. My life was in it. My joy was in it. My peace was in it. I tore up a hood on a lawnmower. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, put it up our best, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall. Somebody say, I'm going to eat it. Because I'm going to be willing. And I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to eat the good. That's what I say. I tell the Lord all the time, oh, Lord, I'm willing and obedient. And I do eat good. I mean, me and Teresa, we cannot even figure out we've eaten so much of everything till we don't want nothing. I'm serious. I mean, we're blessed. And you can get mad about that, or you can get blessed too. You can hear the testimonies of those that have went before you and believed God, not just quoted scriptures. They believed God. They paid for the trucks. They paid for the bumpers. They paid for the lawnmowers. They paid for the Kirby. They had an integrity to the Lord that He's going to raise them up. And God told me, He said, this is the way of prosperity. He said, it's not just getting that scripture and quoting it. It's doing and being right. I thought, dog. I knew there had to be a catch to it. I kind of just put it on like mayonnaise. And just, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of my body, blessed. Why can't I just have that like a mayonnaise on a tomato sandwich and have it just like that and eat it? You got to pay for somebody's bumper. You got to do the right thing. You got to pay for the cars you told them you'd pay for and let them go. You got to take, you got to square up. Be willing and obedient. Okay, this company one time, I've made some financial wrong choices. Some people went under and I was hooked for thousands of dollars. Part of it my fault, part of it wasn't. And bless God, I owed this company a lot of money, you know. And I didn't have it. And they got a lawyer calling me. I told that lawyer, I said, I'll come by your lunch if you just tell me where you at. I meant business, man. I mean, I don't care. You are a lawyer. You ain't going to talk to me no like I'm a dog over here. You know, because I was going to go buy his lunch, but I wasn't going to buy his lunch. I'm going to show him I'm a lawyer or not. I'm not scared of you, but I'm in the flesh. I'm under pressure, but see, this pressure is bringing out the imparity, the things that are not real. You can look at a grape. I got some grapes, man. You can look at that grape and you say, whoo, them grapes looks good. You don't know what it tastes like until you crack it. Then when you crack it, there's a bitter in there. It's a grape, but it's a bitter grape. You imagine it to be all sweet, but it became out a bitter grape. So you don't know what the fruit in your life, and we want to know. I want to know, Johnny. Am I going to crack? I want to know. I don't want to get there to Niagara Falls and fixing to go off and find out I can't swim as good as I thought. Because I've never been put in a place to where it put pressure on me to give it my all. So, you know, I'm like, all of this is putting pressure on me, and I'm yielding a little to the flesh. I'm getting a little bit angry, you know, and Satan's trying to get me angry at God. I don't know why God don't show. I don't know why God. God ain't doing it. God wants me to tell that lawyer I'm paying. That's all he wants. All God wants is me to get off of my attitude, get off of my whatever, and humble myself. Don't the Bible say, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season? Okay, I'm sitting there and I go, you know, and they threaten all kind of stuff, and I'm like, hey, you know what? Look, God, I don't care. I'd lose it. I just give it all up. See, pressure will make you quit if you don't stay close to the Lord. It'll make you run. And if you ever run one, Satan's like, ha ha! Woo, yeah! I got some runners, but they run in the wrong way. Stay on them. Why? Why do I say that? The Bible says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10 said, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means in your union with him, your willingness to be obedient to him, not just in when it's convenient. But you know what I did? That Teresa, she told me, she said, you've got to agree. I said, I can't see how to pay it. How do I agree to something that I don't know what I can pay? Trust is how you do it. You trust that God will supply the money for you. You trust. And that place right there is a place of defining people. It's defining. I mean, it defines who they are. It defines where their trust is. It defines everything. And it can show that person where they are. I want to know where I'm at. If I don't know where I'm at, I don't know how to get to where I'm going. I want to know somewhat of where I'm at. Now, I can't know everything about that. But I know if I face a financial trial and I fold, I know that I'm not there. I don't have to wonder why, well, I'm just weak. Oh, you know that. Shut up and get up. Just shut up. Get up. That's why I'm not watching you. Shut up. Well, the Bible says don't talk like that. Don't let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. Well, I don't cuss anymore. Oh, you speak that fear, and I'd rather hear you cuss than try to fill me with a bunch of unbelief. Just cuss. You're a lot better off cussing. Just cuss. But stay in faith. Just cuss. Rather than get in unbelief, because unbelief is going to destroy you. Unbelief is going to destroy your dreams. Unbelief and fear is going to stop your dreams. It's going to stop your joy. It's going to stop. Don't give me that mama and daddy died and I'm oppressed every year. All of our parents went on, most of us. I was worthless for 1 year, but I was lost. What, if I'd have been born again, I would not have been worthless for a year. Because why? Because the Bible says to put on the mind of Christ. So I paid for the Lord's. I paid for that. See, some of you, if you have agreed, if you borrow money from somebody, don't not pay it back. Somebody borrowed some money. Well, a lot of people borrowed money from me here at church. I'll pay you back. And I'm like, I let them buy with it. But if you borrow it from Travis, you better do it. He'll confront you right at the microphone when you fix the thing. I want my money. You told me that you would pay me at a certain time. And then I've seen them go to him and tell him, man, things didn't work out. And he said, well, just pay when you can. But if they don't, why? I taught him that way. That's the way God is. God's a man of his word to me and you. If he says, by his stripes ye were healed, you can take that to the bank. That is paid for through his son Jesus. And I mean, he carried it out. God carried it out. God put his son on the cross. Did you know God has emotion? Well, he's God. He made you in his image and likeness. Amen. He feels. He had to use Jesus so he could feel your pain. Amen. Right? Because he is a holy God. A set apart. There's no darkness, no shadow. I mean, he had to have Jesus to come down here so he could talk with us. Amen. Commune with us. To bring us up into the place of prosperity, spirit, soul, and body that he wanted, that he did, finished it through Jesus. He said, if you be willing and obedient. Well, okay, I go in, Teresa said, you told them you'd pay them. I wanted to slap her. Smack! You always been like that, woman. Shut up. You ain't the one under the pressure. I am. I know it. But it feels like you're alone in your pressure, although everybody else is feeling some too. But Satan wants you to feel isolated. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel discouraged. He wants you to yield to the feelings. I mean, it's okay to feel that way, but he wants you to yield to that so that he can defeat you. So that he can lie to you more. So that he can go take you deeper into misery as a Christian. And so I finally went outside and I said, okay, bless God. So I picked up my phone and I called that lawyer. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, sir. I said, I'm going to pay $500 a month. I mean, I'm saying this by faith. I mean, honestly. I mean, we're strapped, man. This is 2008 and 2009 when the economy went under. I mean, I didn't have no garage doors coming in. I didn't have no 40-hour job that I'm clocking in, man. I mean, and I can't go get a job because God ain't told me. Because I know I'm in the will of God. See, you don't run from pressure. You know, maybe God's through with you here. Don't let Satan trip you up with that. God will speak to you when everything's going good, sweetheart. And he'll say, I don't want you ever to move. Or he'll say, it's time for you to go. But it won't be because circumstances are not your evidence. Usually, he don't let me move during times of really troubled waters. I'm not saying he won't. I mean, God's God. Some people, they pick up on it and they can handle it. Some people like me, man, I'm just trying to get out of this boiling water, you know. Well, anyways, he said, okay, I'm going to run into college, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Finances begin to move. Doors begin to, services begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Then this company called me. This company called me and said, hey, we got something to offer you. I said, oh, yeah. They said, we got these operators, some operators, and I was paying like $145 each at that time. He said, we got you these, and we can let you have them for $90 each. We want to help you. Same company. I said, yes, Jesus. Oh, yeah. You know what? Those operators bailed me out over a course of about a year and a half. Every pallet made me $3,000. That was God. I complied with God about the lawyer to pay the bill that I owed. I could have went bankrupt, but I can't find it in the Bible. I can't find it in the Bible. I even went to a lawyer, going to go bankrupt on all of them. You know, that's your flesh will do that. You know, but then I'm a thief because I took that money, I had that money, and I'm not going to pay for it. Don't get mad at me. I'm not going to preach anything somebody told me one time, well, you got to have compassion on the body of Christ, you know, and tell them natural ways to get out. I said, no, that's not my job. I said, if I preach anything contrary to what's in that word, it said, let that man be cursed. I didn't write that. God did. So I can't say, well, God understands. I started to shut WGJC off because they preaching at it sometimes. Like God has anointed people to make you go bankrupt and people not get their money that you promised them. Boy, y'all were quiet. That's why a lot of people don't like to go to churches like this. Because they're like, well, you know, we're living a day of grace and mercy, and you can do anybody like that. Ask God to forgive you. And you know, and I mean, people's got to understand we're just mere people. I mean, you know, that is compromise. That is a lower walk. The Bible says that he'll put us on a set apart highway that evil can't cross thereon. I want that one. Because that one, I bind him and he's bound. That one, I tell him, shut up, Satan, and he shuts up. On that highway, my squirrels are running around happy. The dogs used to go chase them, try to kill them. Now they look up and they lay back down. They don't even go chase them no more. So the squirrels gets fat off of my harvest every year. My peaches, my apples, bumper crops. Well, all of these things, what I'm telling you, if God is dealing with you, if he's dealing with you to forgive, somebody's wronged you. I had a lot of people that I hated when I got saved. And God wouldn't prosper me till I got all that bitterness out and I got all of that wrong thinking. He took me to 1 Corinthians 13 and he says, love keeps no account of the evil done to it. And I had an opportunity not long down the road to walk that out. Took me 6 months to forgive this person. 6 months. God told me, he said, I want you to pray for them every day. I said, I ain't praying for them. I'll pray like Peter now, man. I'm going to get some lightning strikes going on and zap them. You know, I know they was in the wrong spirit, but I'm in one too, God, down here, and you need to help me out here. Torch them a little bit. Just let them be tortured a little. Vengeance, see? You know, and God says, I won't bless you. Now, when God tells you he ain't going to bless you, you better hear him. He said, I can't bless you going the wrong way. I can't bless you with that. I can't bless you. But you know what I did? I had to go by that place every day on my way to work. And it was hard. I nearly wanted to cut my arm off rather than raise it. But I did it for 6 months. I raised my hand towards that person and asked God to bless them. And see, it wasn't about God blessing them. It was about God getting that out of my heart. Because that has the potential to take my life down. take my marriage down, take my relationship with my kids down. I mean, you know, everything has the potential. It has the potential to cause me to start making wrong choices and mess my life up. And so, I did it. And before you know it, I could get around that person and never have a thought. A thought couldn't even come to my mind of what had been done to me about that person. Some of y'all say, I could never. You ain't read your Bible. You can do all things. See, you can say it for your car payment. You can say it with other stuff. But when it comes to this unforgiveness and this anger and these things, you know, we got to use that scripture for it. Not just that God will supply all of my needs according to His riches. What does that mean? If you're deplete, bankrupt spiritually, He'll supply all of your needs. If you need bitterness rooted out of you that makes you miserable and makes life not worth living to you, you're just existing, then He'll supply and He wants that rooted out. But it's you making the conscious choice to go the way of God, yielding God's way. Yielding God's way. Nobody can convince me because of where I was at and where I'm at today that it is impossible for you to forgive. I don't care what has happened to you. We're not talking about a natural forgiving. We're talking about supernatural. We're talking about God. Jesus hung on the cross in it. He was hanging on the cross and He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what. That right there. He's in the supernatural. Stephen, he was another one, a man like me and you. Because people told me one time, well, that was Jesus. I said, well, Stephen wasn't Jesus. I said, and they're stoning Stephen. I said, and Stephen said the same thing. He was in this power too. He said the same thing that Jesus said. He said, Father, He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So don't give me that you cannot forgive. You meditate on it. You meditate on what they did to you. You meditate. And the more you meditate, you feed it. The more you meditate on the answer, which is God's Word, the more you feed it. The Bible says in Proverbs, He said, where there is no wood put on a fire, it goes out. Well, if I knew all these scriptures, well, if you'd get in the Bible for 30 years, right? I just don't understand nothing. I told a lady yesterday, pull up there, I'm led by the Lord, two places I went. Praise God, yesterday, I don't work on Saturday, but Teresa was gone, and I thought, well, you know, man, I mean, I'll run over there. And so the first one, he had brain surgery, and he's paralyzed from his waist down. And I put a dream in him. I talked to him about going over yonder and hiking, taking, you know, and I said, you'll recover, and you'll recover. Oh, yeah. The other one I pulled up, her husband died 6 months ago, 58 years. Been married 58 years. She don't have a clue how to take care of things because he took care of everything, you know. Just fear and all of that and miss him and don't understand and all of that stuff, you know. And I'm standing in there, you know, and the anointing is there. And all of a sudden, she just breaks down crying. She can't help herself. And so I told her, I said, listen, I said, because I know the God of comfort. I said, I don't have nothing for you. Think your life's bad? Let your mate die. Come on, somebody. See, they've been going to church, but COVID stopped them. COVID stopped them. It ain't hard to get started back, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not downing the lady, but 2 years of no feeding. 2 years of no engaging, 2 years of no faith to get to church, to go to church, 2 years of not having an opportunity to forgive you, Johnny. 2 years. 2 years of not feeding on God's Word. 2 years of making excuses. COVID's been done over with over a year. Done a year, it's hard. I said, don't worry about it. It's hard for me. I don't want to go tomorrow. You know, oh, you're a preacher? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. I said, and I'm telling you right now, I said, there ain't but one that can comfort you, but you must go draw from him. I can pray for you and it'll last a minute. But I'm not living with you. But he will. See, the Bible says we must draw out of the well. See, we got to be willing to be obedient to what I'm telling you. Paying your bills, paying them on time. Don't be late. Travis, he can pay. I mean, he's prompt on his. But when I co-sign with him, he's late every time. Teresa told him, you are ruining your daddy's credit. Late. She'd tell me, I'll be glad, but God, when we are not tied to him. If I heard that one time, I heard it a million. I'll be glad. No, don't you ever sign with him again. Don't you sign with him. He's ruining your credit. But boy, when he got it, I mean, he's everything on his own now. Me and the Lord helped him get up there. He can get anything he wants anytime he wants it. I mean, don't be late. Oh, Beth Pat, I forgot that. Oh, Beth Pat, I forgot that. And then he gets, I got a credit score of nearly 900. Oh, boy, he don't want to be late one day. Why? It's him. It's him now. It's him now. And so, you know, I mean, you know, he wants a good name. If you want a good name, you're going to have to work toward it. Work toward a good name. Well, if somebody distrusts me, man, you've robbed everybody. Ain't nobody going to trust you. You got to prove Jesus is your Lord. Come on, man. You got to come on up here. You going to have to come up here and say, well, I don't need to prove nothing to nobody, Lord. I know that you're my God. I know that I've been transformed. I know how it is. I mean, I told God, I said, God, I'm going to have to leave Blount County. Everybody knows me here. Ain't nobody going to listen to me preach. You understand? I mean, I told the law one time, take me to jail, y'all blankety blankers. I'm not scared of jail. Come on, take me. I want you to. At least I won't have to put up with a bunch of rules at home anymore. Mama always coming in on the weekend. You know. So don't give me that. So I get saved and I'm like, God, I made a wreck of my life here, man. Ain't nobody going to listen to me. Look what the Lord's done for all of y'all through this ministry. Praise God, but I had to lift my head up and I had to separate myself from some folk that I used to hang with and run with and talk with and all of that. And I had to separate myself to the Lord and get committed to the Lord, but God. And I mean, it wasn't but 6 months. Praise God, he done raised me up, put me on the very streets that hated me. Weston's, you mentioned Weston back yonder. I mean, back yonder, and it was like the dogs. Come on, somebody. That's the way you felt. And it made you mean. It made you like, you'll call me a dog, but God, I'll help you get false teeth like my uncle's got. And then daddy tell you, well, they're going to pick on you, son, you know. And I mean, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So, but God, if they was big, I felt like they're going to bust that ground. And they fall so slow, by the time they fall, I'm going to get on them and I'm going to be on them. And I ain't even going to give them time to raise their hands up, ask God. They're going to try to be getting blood out of their eyes. Well, thought that stupid way. The society was training me that way. Society did it, some of it. You know. But then when I get in there and get born again, the Lord told me, he said, fighting is not your way anymore. He said, you are a lover and not a fighter. He said, and if you'll love, he said, you don't have to leave Blount County. I'll raise you up right where you're at because of the anointing. So don't give me that. You've got a bad reputation. Turn it around, get some testimonies, and that's what'll fix it. God's testimonies in your life is what'll fix your bad name. My boss called me up about 6 months in and wanted to meet with me. See what I'm saying? I was being willing not to steal felt anymore. I mean, I'd load a couple of rolls on the truck, you know, roll out of town, throw it in the ditch, and get my truck and come back that evening and get it. Windows. I mean, I did windows. I built me a room on the back, and that wasn't me. That was the old man. Now when I get saved, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I need a roll of felt. Oh, and I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't take that gum roll of felt no more, man. I can't take it. I just couldn't do it. You know, and I'm like, man, this get saved messes y'all up, man. I mean, you can't even steal now. And feel good about it, you can't. You know, and then I'm like, man, I could use some nails. And I thought, oh, geez, I can't steal a box of 16s anymore. So you know what? Pulled up there, and Jack, all of a sudden, my boss, he had told them to clean out the bins. They was putting boxes of nails in the garbage. All of them got what they wanted in this store. And I went over there and I said, hey, what's going on up in here? Jack wanted to get rid of all them nails. See, they're rusty a little bit. I said, I don't care. I said, I want some of them. He said, well, get all of them you want. And I started to get in there, and the Lord said, you hadn't asked for them. And I thought, what? I hadn't asked for them. Everybody else is getting them. He doesn't give them to everybody else. See, it's not got nothing to do with the nails right here. When God does that to you, it's not got anything to do with other than what He's wanting to do in you. Because this is going to take you to your nice cars, to your debt-free stuff, to your healing, to your victory, to your vacations, man. I don't have to have a vacation to go on vacation. I'm on vacation. I'm just as happy on vacation. Right here. I'm on vacation right here. I go jump in the pool. Aubrey told me yesterday, Papa, don't you want to get in here? Your whole back is wet, Papa. I was sweating. And I said, no, y'all jump in. Y'all just go jump in. And I sat there, and I mean, it made me feel good that I had created an oasis for these kids, Men Teresa. That gave me more joy than diving in the pool. Because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and all of a sudden, little Aubrey's head pops up. And she said, hey, Papa. And I said, yeah. She said, thank you, Papa, for putting this swimming pool up for us. I said, oh, yeah, baby, just get in there and swim. I said, because Grandma will be here in a minute, and we all were resting when Granny gets here. Praise God. So, you know, don't just be obedient. Well, God, I'm going to obey. No, man, you need to be willing. Willing to stand up to pressure. Look, I'm telling you, man, you can't get me to quit anything anymore. I went in there, I marched in there, and I asked him, I told my brother, he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to ask Jack if I can have him nailed. I'll get them nails. He done told everybody. I said, I'm going to ask him. I haven't asked him yet. See, it wasn't between me and my brother. It was between me and God. You know, and so I go in there, sure, sugar, get all of them you want. And then I go out, now I'm glorifying God. I'm like, glory to God. It felt better to go ask for them, Lord. Now I got His permission, and I'm not stealing them, and you're letting me have them, all I want of them. You know, don't got to steal no nails no more. I kept a bunch of them nails for years. I think I left some over there because I felt like it was causing me to, you know, be poverty-minded when I moved, you know. But I mean, I want to encourage you. If you've got things that God's bringing up, look, He's not going to let us go. I mean, we don't want to go years and years and years and God dealing with me about a Kirby, and I get up here in trouble and the Kirby comes up. Man, I should have dealt with that back down yonder 10 years ago. Because He ain't going to let it go. He's not going to let me slide. Now, I'm not saying He does everybody. Some people, you know, I mean, it seems to let them slide, but I doubt it. If God's asking you to love your wife as Christ so loved the church, you can be all selfish if you want to, you're not going to be happy, man. Because we belong to Him. I mean, you know, and when I do that, Teresa's got a better life, sure, but it sets me free. It's not got really nothing to do with Teresa. It's got to do with God wanting me not to take the last candy bar. Go do without and leave her the candy bar. Well, I mean, no, get all that out of your thinking. Lean not. See, that lady asked me yesterday, she said, do you think that surgery that he had anything to do with his death? I said, I highly doubt it, praise God. She said, I've asked the Lord, why do you? I said, that's not a good thing to be doing. I said, you're leaning now to your own understanding and feelings, ma'am, and you say you're a Christian. Now, the Bible says for you to trust the Lord with all of your, lean not to your own, in all of your ways from here out, acknowledge Him. And He will direct you. I said, He direct. She said, I got in that phone book and I was all confused. I couldn't figure out which one door company to call. He always does all of that. She said, and I just thought was blunt. I said, that was not a coincidence. I said, I'm here. I said, I don't work on Saturday. I said, I'm here by divine appointment. I said, and I'm going to pray for you. And I did. I prayed the God of comfort that comforts me, that I know comforts me, comfort her, because that compassion for her in the Lord. And then when you got faith that you release, see, because our life, we live, if we're not careful, we're just living all and we are just caught up in all of our cares and our troubles and all of that stuff. And there's a big world out here that needs you to be strong in faith, that when you walk into a place of hurting, you're not all despair and say, God, Lord, y'all are, I don't know what's going to happen around here. I don't know what you're going to do. He don't want you to be that way. He wants you to be comforted by Him. And now you know that the God that comforts you, that the God that supplies your needs, that the God that moves when you release your faith, that same God they can have. But I give her the key. I said, but you are going to have to go after Him. I mean, I'm not going to tell her anything otherwise. I told her, I said, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you will receive. I said, I'm going to believe that your family gets back up and goes back to church. Well, you preach the same thing out there. It's no different. I told that lady, I said, look, we're all human here. I said, we have a real big God. I said, and I'm believing God with you that He's going to move in your inner man. He's going to move and give you wisdom. He's going to move and transform your life. Well, she ain't needed God like she needs God till now in that manner, because He's always been there 58 years. I said, let me tell you something. I said, they say that time heals. I said, I don't believe it does. I said, time helps, but God heals. I said, time helps you. I said, but God heals you. If you'll let Him heal you, if you'll let him come in and replace him, replace your husband in here. He said He'd never leave us, forsake us, right? See, we got to be willing and obedient. You've got to own up to your mess if you've got yourself in one, Christian or none. You've got to own up to it. Somebody told me one time, they said, boy, I mean, you know, that Bible's going to brainwash you. I said, well, look where my life was at 27 years old. Let it brainwash me. I need something washed. I said, but God, if it gives me a better future than the first 27, it's going to do good. And it just blowed the first 27 years out of the water now. I mean, Jesus is the best thing ever happened to me. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. And the Holy Ghost is right next to Him that'll wake you up, that'll tell you pay for the Kirby, that'll tell you to pay your debts, that'll tell you to pay on time, that'll tell you don't be late, that'll tell you, give you wisdom, hallelujah, how to do it and all that. The Holy Spirit is the next best thing to Jesus. And then the Word of God. You take the Word of God, it takes you to plateaus. Plateaus in your life to where the blessing flows in your life, spirit, soul, and body. I'm standing on stuff for healing right now. I told the Lord just the day before yesterday, I said every other day, I say, Lord, I thank you that your word is working mightily in me. Your word is medicine to my flesh. Thank you, Lord. And then I started singing a song that I sang. It's working. Power of God is working, it's working, it's working. The power of God is working, it's working, it's working. Working down in me. Something like that. Good song. But I was singing it. And I'm telling the Lord, your word is driving out sickness out of my body, God. Jesus is the word made flesh in me, and he's dwelling among me and in me. See, I'm going to be willing to be obedient to the word because it's not God's will for me to be sick. And I commend Sis Becker. I'm believing God she won't have to have no medicine in Jesus' name. I'm believing God that doctor going to go back. Her faith is changing her body right now. I mean changing her. She ain't going to have to take no kind of medicine. Pray God. I'm believing God for it. I'm believing God that that healing power is working in her. And she's hearing the word now. She's going to be willing and obedient to submit to 1 Peter 2:24. By Jesus Christ she was healed and lay hold of it. But God, and I guarantee you the doctors, if she does it, they'll have to take her off. The medicine will begin to mess your body up because it's normal. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Be willing to be obedient to the Lord. He tells you to preach, just get ready. He tells you once you go to the streets, not just the bad things. See, the things that are there to hold us back from where God's wanting to take us, he's going to make sure that we deal with issues. We deal with them so that we can move on. And you know what? He met my need in that whole garage door company deal. And you know what it led me to? Back then, I used to charge garage doors. And I made up my mind that I'm going further. I made up my mind that I'm going to believe God and never charge another door. And I had to do it by faith. And I trusted that God would do it. And I mean, I've not put a garage door on credit for about 10 or 12 years. I don't have to. I got money. See, but my believing brought me to that. My trust in God brought me to that, to a debt-free place. You can be debt-free. You can own a house. Oh, nobody will give us a break. Jesus already gave it to you. Give your dreams to the Lord. Cast your dreams on the Lord and let the Lord do it for you, praise God. Let's bow our head. Father, we just pray.